Last week we started to study the account of Peter's miraculous escape from prison in chapter 12 of the book of Acts. We won't go back and read that chapter this evening, but we were using as an outline Peter's reference to the 34th Psalm in his letter in 1 Peter chapter 3 and verse 12. I think we will start there this evening to remind ourselves of the outline that we're using to consider the events of chapter 12 of the book of Acts. But we'll begin reading in 1 Peter chapter 3 and verse 12. For the eyes of the Lord are on the righteous, and his ears are open to their prayers. But the face of the Lord is against those who do evil. So Peter, in this passage, he speaks of the eyes of the Lord, the ears of the Lord, and the face of the Lord. And as we began to consider chapter 12 of the book of Acts, we saw that these three aspects of God are a good outline for us to understand the events of chapter 12 of the book of Acts. The eyes of the Lord, as we had last week, were certainly on Peter to watch over him and deliver him from Herod's intent of not only imprisoning him, but of ultimately killing him in order to appease the Jews. That was Herod's intention. But God's eyes were on Peter. And God had a different plan for Peter. But we also saw that God's eyes were on James, who was killed by Herod. And yet God's eyes were on him to strengthen him to go through that martyrdom, to give the strength and the courage and the comfort to lay down his life for the sake of Christ, in order that James might have as a reward of faithfulness, that throne that Jesus had promised him. He was able to drink the cup of suffering that was necessary to sit on that throne with Jesus. And the eyes of the Lord was upon him to see that he was able to do that. And so no matter which the Lord chooses for us, we can trust him that we're not lost to him. He sees us and he will fulfill his promises to us and through us. Now let's consider the ears of the Lord being open to the prayers of the saints. If you will remember, and you can open your Bible there to Acts chapter 12 to kind of remind yourself, to glance through the events there. But you remember that it clearly stated while Peter was in prison that there were prayers being made for him. The Holy Spirit recorded that specifically to remind us of the privilege and the power of prayer. So the brethren were in the house of the mother, the parents of John Mark, and they were praying continually for Peter. But as they were praying, and as God delivered Peter miraculously, and he started knocking on the door, the maid went to the door, recognized Peter's voice, but was so overcome with joy to know that Peter was safe, without even opening the door to check with Peter, she ran and said, "Peter's at the door." And the rest of the church didn't believe her. And they thought maybe it was his angel. Somehow, maybe he had already passed away. Herod had already killed him. They were surprised, to say the least. And I don't think that this surprise was necessarily a lack of faith. I think it is more a case found in Ephesians chapter 3 and verses 20 and 21 of God answering their prayer far above what they were able to ask or think. We don't know what they were praying exactly. We don't know that they were praying, "God deliver him," or "God send an angel." I doubt they had that specific prayer at all, but they were praying that God's will would be done for Peter. Maybe just to strengthen him to face his death like James did. But they were trusting God to do what was necessary for Peter to bring glory to God. And God answered their prayer in God's way and in God's time. Ephesians chapter 3 and verses 20 and 21, we have this same promise. Now to him who is able to do exceedingly abundantly above all that we ask or think, according to the power that works in us. To him, to God, be glory in the church by Christ Jesus to all generations forever and ever. Amen. Now, if the prayer of faith is as some teach it, that we just speak what we want and we tell God what to do and how to do it and when to do it, who would get the glory for coming up with all of those answers? Well, that'd be me. I've got faith and I told God to do this and he did it. But that's not what the early church did when they prayed for Peter. This is why they were surprised the way that God did it. It was far above what they could possibly think. They simply asked God to minister to Peter, to do what was necessary in and through Peter to bring God glory. God seems to delight in pleasantly surprising men and women of faith. You remember Jehoshaphat in the Old Testament? He was surrounded by a much larger army of allied forces, not just one group of people or nation or tribes, but an alliance of several that just at first glance was going to wipe out Jehoshaphat and his entire army. That's what it looked like from the human reasoning and standpoint. But Jehoshaphat began to pray. Well, how did he pray? Well, he did pray that the Lord would take care of that enemy, but he didn't tell God how to do it. And when it was all said and done, God told Jehoshaphat what to do. You send out the praise band. You pray, you send out those that are going to worship Jehovah, not your archers, not the chariots, but those who are singing the praises of Jehovah. And when that happened, God miraculously caused the enemy to fight against itself and destroy itself. And when it was all said and done, that the day in which Jehoshaphat looked like he was going to die and everybody with him, God, because his ears were open to Jehoshaphat's prayer, instead of dying a miserable death, they were 3 days gathering the spoils that caused them to be richer than when they started out that day. God answers prayer exceedingly abundantly above all that we ask or think. This is what happened with the church in the book of Acts in chapter 12. So many so-called prayers of faith today are filled with demands to tell God what to do. And to me, it's one of the greatest tragedies among God's people, this so-called faith. And you hear it in places and by people that should know better, that I have faith God's going to do this and he's going to do it this way. That's not faith. Faith is trusting that God will do what will bring him glory and be for our eternal glory. And to rest, to leave the details with him, because guess what? He can answer in a way that is far beyond what you think he can do. Trust him. We are to make our requests known to the Lord. We are to ask, we are to seek, we are to knock. That is true. But ultimately, what we should be seeking, what we should be asking for, is that God's will would be done in us and for us and through us to his glory. God will answer that prayer of faith. Leave the details to him. Don't think you know better than God. And he will show himself faithful because the ears of the Lord are opened to the prayers of the saints. We'll see that Peter has one more appearance in the book of Acts, in chapter 15 of the book of Acts. We'll get to that later. But we begin to see this full transition from Peter's ministry to the Jews and to the nation of Israel, and turning now to Saul of Tarsus, who will soon be Paul, and his ministry to the Gentiles. So once again, we see this transition that's taking place in the book of Acts. Now let's look at the last part of the outline, and that is the face of the Lord is against those who do evil. Remember that Herod, as we read last week in chapter 12 of the book of Acts, Herod went down to Tyre and Sidon after the incident with Peter. Tyre and Sidon were dependent on Judea and Herod for their supply of food. And they had somehow made Herod mad, and so he had cut off their supply of food. And so that very quickly begins to affect you. And so they did what is often the case. They began to play politics, and they had one of Herod's good friends and put him in a place of authority. And then they invited Herod to come and give a speech where they could make over him. And they called him as he was speaking, that, oh, this is not a man who's speaking, but this is God. And Herod was soaking it up. He loved to hear that. They called him a God, the incorruptible one, and God struck him down with a worm, ate him from inside, caused a bowel blockage, as history tells us, and he died there on the spot. I think that's a pretty fitting way for God to judge one who pretends to be the incorruptible God, and yet he's eaten by a worm from within. The face of the Lord is against those who do evil. Herod had intended to kill Peter, but it wasn't God's time or God's way for Peter to die. There was going to come a day when Peter would lay down his life for Christ, but in God's time and God's way. Can that give you some peace concerning your own mortality and your own life? We face so many things, and as we face this pandemic and all the uncertainties of life, again, we understand that we are to be prudent in all things and to do what we can in our control to be accountable to God and to be accountable to others. We should never be foolish and jump off a cliff unless God tells you to jump off. If he doesn't, stay away from the cliff. But when it's all said and done, we have to understand that our life and our health is in his hands. He's got a plan. He's got a time. He's got a race course set before us. And as long as we surrender our will to his will, nothing and no one can overthrow that time when he calls us home. It wasn't Peter's time, and it wasn't God's way for Peter to die by the hand of Herod. And so it didn't happen. No matter how powerful Herod thought he was, he could not overthrow God's plan for Peter. And the same is true for you and for me. Yes, we understand Satan is a powerful foe. We understand he has plans and purposes against us as well. The Bible wants us not to be ignorant of that. But Satan cannot overthrow my Heavenly Father. And so we rest in him. And when our time comes, however that may be, whenever that may be, we'll take it from the hand of our Father, not from circumstance, not from disease, not from accident or whatever it might appear to be. We take it from the hand of God. This is what real faith is, and we talk about it all the time, but sometimes it's hard for us when we face these realities of life, our frailty, our mortality, all the unexpected things of life. It's hard for us to stop and realize, my life is in the hands of my Father, and no one can overthrow him. This is why we take all of our prayers, our cares, our anxieties to him. Nothing is final until God says it is. Whatever your trial is today, or whatever it is tomorrow, nothing is final until God says it is. And when he says it is final, it'll be for your good, your eternal well-being, and for his glory. That's the peace that comes from living by faith. There's no other life that we can live on this earth that gives such joy, peace, comfort than a life that's lived by faith. Still a lot of uncertainties. Peter didn't know what was going to happen tomorrow, but he was able to sleep. One day God will destroy all of those who oppose his purposes, and he will establish his plan and purpose in and through his Son, Jesus Christ, because the face of the Lord is against those who do evil. He doesn't always do it immediately, but God's judgment is coming. 2 Thessalonians, I think we'll actually close with this tonight rather than go into chapter 13, but in 2 Thessalonians 2, verses 3 to 13, I believe in the 12th chapter of the book of Acts, in the person of Herod, we have an type of the Antichrist. Just like Herod, who declared himself to be God, well, he accepted at least those that declared him to be God, and God struck him down. God will not share his glory with anyone. Sometimes that judgment, that face against those who do evil, sometimes it's delayed, but it is certain. And in 2 Thessalonians chapter 2 and verses 3 to 13, we see that there is coming another one who will also pretend to be in the place of God, the eternal one, the incorruptible one. But the only one true God will also strike him down, because the face of the Lord is against those who do evil. Let no one deceive you by any means, for the day will not come unless the falling away comes first, and the man of sin is revealed, the son of perdition. who opposes and exalts himself above all that is called God or that is worshipped, so that he sits as God in the temple of God, showing himself that he is God. During the tribulation period, there is going to be one who is going to set himself up in Jerusalem, in the temple, as God. Do you not remember, verse 5, that when I was still with you, I told you these things? And now you know what is restraining, that he who be revealed in his own time. For the mystery of lawlessness is already at work. Only he who now restrains will do so until he is taken out of the way. I believe that this is a reference to those faithful saints, those that are offering those prayers of faith for themselves, for the church, for the lost. The ears of the Lord are open to those prayers, but there's coming a day before the tribulation begins that they will be caught up out of the way. And all of those prayers that were being offered up will be now removed from the earth. And that's when the tribulation begins. That's how powerful our prayers are when we pray by faith and live a life that is surrendered to the will of God. There's a restraining power in us and through us. Do we take that seriously? We are a kingdom of priests. Are we interceding for the church? Are we interceding for the lost? Because those prayers are effectual. But one day when the faithful are taken up out of the way, then all of that restraining power is removed and evil will thrive as never before. That's a frightening statement. I look around and we're living in one of the most evil times that I can ever remember. I realize back in under the Roman Empire, things were pretty bad. But we're living in a time of great evil. Can you imagine when the restraining power of the faithful saints is taken out of the way, how things are going to just run rampant? But the face of the Lord is against those who do evil. Verse 8, and then the lawless one will be revealed, whom the Lord will consume with the breath of his mouth and destroy with the brightness of his coming. The coming of the lawless one is according to the working of Satan with all power, signs, and lying wonders. Yes, there's power there. And with all unrighteousness, deception among those who perish because they did not receive the love of the truth that they might be saved. This is the age of grace. This is the message that we have to offer. But that message will come to an end. The offer will come to an end. And for this reason, God will send them strong delusion that they should believe the lie. I think we're seeing an inkling of that now. It's amazing what society is accepting as right and true and wonderful. It's a deception. But they eagerly receive it, believe it, because they've rejected truth. When you reject truth, there's nothing but lie left to believe. And they call us naive and stupid and simple because we believe what the Word of God says. But I look at what the world is accepting as wonderful, and I scratch my head and think, how blind can you be? It's just an inkling. In the tribulation, it's going to be far worse. That they may all be condemned who do not believe the truth, but had pleasure in unrighteousness. But we are bound to give thanks to God always for you, brethren, beloved by the Lord, because God from the beginning chose you for salvation through sanctification by the Spirit and belief in the truth. Oh, what a contrast of our hope compared to the face of the Lord being against us. Our God is for us. The Antichrist will be the last man that God will allow to take for himself the glory that belongs only to God. He will not allow anyone else after that. This same almighty, sovereign God is my loving Father. May we learn to rest in him and rejoice in who we are, no matter what our present circumstances are, because we know that the eyes of the Lord are on us. And his look is a look of favor, a look of grace. And his ears are open to our cries, to our prayers. That's our hope. That's our joy. That's our peace. May we not take it for granted. Well, let's stand. We'll be dismissed this evening.